Well, welcome everyone. Thank you again for joining us for another Basic Conversation. This season, we are focusing on the legacy of Pope Francis. We've had a series of conversations, and today's topic, Father Basic, we picked an easy one, climate change.
Climate change, yeah, right.
And an important topic, but also in some ways a controversial one.
Indeed, yeah. When we have background for talking about climate change, it is that we are in the process as the United States of withdrawing from the Paris Agreement. That takes time to withdraw, but we're in process of doing that. So let's, Paris Agreement, very important. Pope Francis had a great feel for the environment. You know, he chose the name Francis, right? The first pope in history to choose Francis. And that takes us back to Francis of Assisi, 13th century figure and someone who loved the earth and cared for the poor. That's what he liked about Francis. Francis of Assisi became, he was fairly well-to-do, and he renounced all of that and lived as a beggar and so on. So big on the poor, but also creation. So his prayer poem was that he praised brother, sun, and sister moon. And that was his prayer, was to praise God for the beauties of creation. So Francis, Pope Francis, you know, I'm a big fan of his, Brad.
We've gathered that, yes.
Hiding behind that. He's been a breath of fresh air and an energy source for me. And part of my priesthood's been about trying to get on board with him and his efforts to make Vatican II real in our world and to make it available. So that's one way that he is, and I think that, you know, there are a number of points that he makes that we want to make sure we keep hold of, and that is that climate change is real. It's genuine. It's a reality. It is not a hoax propagated by the Chinese, as President Trump likes to say. It's not a hoax, it's a reality. And it's urgent. And the whole fate of the human race is at stake. Not some minor question, but the fate of the whole human race is at stake as Francis sees it. And so the other thing is that we have to recognize, he wants people to recognize that human activity, burning fossil fuels, is helping to cause the problem. It's anthropocentric, it's anthropogenic, it's caused by human beings. So the Vatican has a scientific council, a group of scientists that meet, that advise the Pope, and they insisted in their studies that it was caused by human activity and the burning of fossil fuels especially, and that if we're going to make progress, we have to reduce our carbon output. So
he especially challenged the big, wealthier nations.
Say again?
He especially challenged the bigger, wealthier nations for the output.
And he recognized that, this probably save for later, but that the action really was with the United States and China primarily, if we were going to do something about the problem. And that takes us back to President Trump saying it's a Chinese hoax. It's an effort of the Chinese to keep down the United States and keep us from building up and being economically successful and so on. But the Paris Agreement was quite amazing, really. And Pope wrote Francis wrote an encyclical for that reason. In other words, it was very pointed that he wanted to support that process. And there's a lot of talk that he helped convince some South American countries to sign up to be one of the 195 nations who said we got a problem and commit ourselves to lowering our carbon output. So see, he might have played that role. I don't know how much to make of it, but it is said at least that he had influence on being from Latin America himself, that he influenced some countries to support the Paris Agreement. Mm-hmm. But it won wide support, 195 countries and so on, and committing themselves to somehow trying to curb global warming.
And Father Bacek, the Paris Agreement was 2016, but the encyclical you mentioned that Pope Francis put out was 2015.
Yeah.
I can't say the name of that. What is that?
The name of the encyclical?
Yeah.
Laudato Si.
And what does that mean?
Laudato Si is a phrase taken from Francis of Assisi, who wrote a prayer poem. And the repeat line is that he praises God for various parts of creation, which he paired off like brother sun and sister moon, brother fire and sister water. It's that phrase that he's playing off of.
Yeah. In that encyclical, and it was lengthy, but one of the quotes that struck me, it was really blunt. He criticized accumulating pollution that is non-biodegradable, highly toxic, and radioactive. And then he said, the earth, our home, is beginning to look more and more like an immense pile of filth.
I know.
That's strong.
Very strong, yeah. And he was good at that. He was like a prophetic kind of pope. In other words, he would say things that jarred people, or trying to get people to think, that often off the cuff or on an airplane or something. God gave us a garden, and we can't leave a pile of filth to our descendants, right? Gave us a garden, we can't pass on a desert. A lot of striking language. I often think of Pope Leo now, of probably going to be more measured in his comments, a more bridge builder, bringing people together. But Francis was famous for off-the-cuff remarks, and that's often what caught people's attention. And where else you want to go with that?
Is there anything about the 2015 encyclical that we want to cover? But we got the basic theme.
I think as I said, the main things is it's caused by human beings. And yeah. Putting two things together, let's say this. He thought we got big problems in our world, and they're connected. There's sort of one big problem, and that is the poor are dispossessed, the marginalized are not taken seriously, and our earth is at risk. Our common home, as he calls it, care for our common home. So he saw that as one problem. Like climate change is causing droughts or people can't grow food and so on, who suffers? The poor, who can't manage. I mean, the rich will always find a way to make it, right? Find food, shelter, build domes, all kind of things. But he kept insisting, as the more the climate is hurt, the more global warming, the more we're hurting our earth, the more the poor suffer. So he wants to see one connected problem. Now, there's not too many people in the world, commentators on all this, scientists and so on, who see that connection. But it goes back to St. Francis of Assisi again, who praised creation, brother, sun, sister, moon, and who took on and embraced the lepers, who went out and begged for his food and so on. one, and to do that, let's what he thought the problem was a deified market system. He says that the dominant thinking is that, well, there's resources and we'll use them and it's sort of unlimited and we don't have to worry about it, so we'll dig more fossil fuel and we'll be fine. Again, that's a line that we hear within our own U.S. government today. Drill, baby, drill. Did I get that right? Yeah. In other words, is the line is, we're not going to worry about fossil fuels. We're going to drill more, and we're going to increase our energy sources and so on, and we won't play into this Chinese hoax.
There's two phrases that, and I'm not sure it's directly related to Pope Francis, right, but he talks about the importance of developing ecological virtues or eco-spirituality.
Yeah.
Are those attributed to him?
Yeah, that's good. He's big on that. He always thinks of our problems in our world as not just technical problems, but it always, for him, has a moral dimension or a spiritual dimension. So he thinks if we're going to make progress, we need a spiritual eco-theology. We need a eco-spirituality, an eco-virtues. And that spirituality would propel us into making good decisions about polluting our world and so on. So what I like is we need a mindset. You know, he was very discouraged with the fact that he was not making progress with Catholics, especially in the United States. He put more energy into getting his message in Laudato Si, praise to you, Lord, than anything else he did. So he always had a new program for, like, how are we going to sell this to the American people? Oh, we will have a 5-year plan to make this real, or we'll set up a new commission to work on it. So that was one of the things, follow-up. A lot of times about the papal encyclicals, feeling is, well, they make them and that's the end of it. But this one has remained germane, important, relevant for our world. And he has been outspoken about the fact that he's has not thought that the nations have not done a good job. The rich nations have not done especially all they could do for the poor nations. And that was one part of the Paris Agreement was, I mean, the developing countries don't have money to try to deal with this, and that the well-to-do countries, the developed world, need to help the poor countries deal with their ecological problems. You know, help them plant trees, or help them reduce their carbon output. And of course, they're saying, well, you've done it. The wealthy nations all thrive because of fossil fuels. Now you don't want us to use them. This is the poor developing countries. And he had a strong feel for that, and that was part of the Paris Agreement that he favored and pushed and continued to do so throughout his pontificate.
How does some of that translate into our daily lives? You said make good decisions, right? But how would that translate into how it changes us as people and how we go about living?
Yeah.
Because we're pretty big consumers, right? We like, especially in richer nations like us, we like things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he proposed a philosophy that sometimes less is more. You know? And he had all kind of suggestions that the great nations, China, Japan, the United States, countries, would be the decisive voice on whether we control climate change or not, whether we reduce global warming. He knew that. But he also wanted all of us to do whatever we could do. to do our own part to reduce climate change. And so he often got very concrete. He wanted more carpooling. He wanted us to simplify our lifestyle. Maybe make sure our diet was helpful to the environment and so on. So he wanted us to do our own part. But he was, I think, keenly, I say this, this is my own observation, that he was keenly disappointed in the response of American Catholics to his proposals. He often got people like Cardinal McElroy to set up programs in their diocese to try to get people to understand the problem and to do whatever we can do to make it better.
And there's some, just a general statement, he had the biggest issues with the political conservatives in our country and elsewhere. And there's the criticism for him is he didn't read the audience well enough. He didn't tailor the message or take the concerns of that group of people and try to frame things differently with them.
Yeah. He was often relied on the bishops in dioceses. He quoted more local bishops' conferences than any other pope that I, even close, I think. He often said the pope does not have the answer to all the problems. You know, that we need, he disliked solutions top down.
Right.
He distrusted
that. Like the great Oz, right?
Yeah, you got it. It's not going to work. He always thought you can't get any, make any progress that way. He wanted solutions that built up from ground roots and grassroots movements and so on. So he favored that sort of thing. I mean, one of the great proponents of his ideas is Cardinal Robert McElroy, who's now the Archbishop of Washington. And McElroy's a brilliant scholar and so on. And he did a lot in his diocese out west and to set up programs to try to educate people, to get them to discuss what they could do, help them to understand the science behind it. So the Pope relied on that, and McElroy was a really, has been, continues to be a good spokesperson for Francis' ideas. So he said the Pope does not have the answer to all the problems. And so, I mean, you could say, well, he didn't succeed in selling it in the United States. There's a whole lot of people, a lot of Catholics think along with Trump that global warming is a hoax. Still a lot of them, and that disappointed him. And he was also disappointed that the countries weren't more faithful to their agreements, the Paris agreements, that they could do more. And he kept saying, hey, we got an urgent problem. I mean, that's what I thought when I think about his accomplishments and what he did. And I got dealing with global warming right up near the top. Why? Because we're dealing with the fate of the whole nation. I mean, the human race. He'll say that, you know, the human race is, and all those lines about make sure we got to remember, we want to pass on a habitable planet to the next generation. So yeah, you talked about we need cities that work, where there's transportation and so on, where people can walk to places. We could use carpooling, we could use less energy and so on. And so again, it gets down to, you know, what are we each going to do? And when I think of that, we got Catholics in the United States who fundamentally agree with Francis. We got a major problem. It's caused by human beings and using fossil fuels a big part of it, and we got to cut back. How are we going to make that real? He wants us to do our part in it. And I think that in that sense, he's practical. He didn't, you know, when you don't succeed at something, there's a thousand reasons to blame you, you know, and say, well, he didn't do this right or didn't do that right. But I think I like to keep hoping that eventually we can sell this. I mean, you can say, well, we politically people disagree about a lot of questions and so on, but global warming, you got fires, wildfires. You know, rich people, their kids may not be able to play outside, their grandchildren. You know, I've always seen it's much more concrete. You can disagree politically about a lot of questions. On this one's got to do with quality of life. I don't care how much money you have. If wildfires in Canada are spreading pollution here in the United States, your kids can't play outside, your grandkids. So making it concrete has always seemed to me to be the key to doing something practical about it.
Yeah. So sum it up for us as far as the legacy for Pope Francis in this area of climate change.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've been trying to bring it
you
together throughout and how well we've done that. It's always got to have a payoff. I think practically one of the payoffs is voting. It's possible to make a difference in our country by voting, so that when you're voting for candidates, one of the questions could be, where does he or she stand on global warming? What's he or she going to do about reducing the use of fossil fuels? So elections are important, and we're going to see that more and more in terms of trying to keep our country together and finding unity and people to come together. So I think that people in both parties and independents, we vote enough of them in, and then they say, no, we got a problem. We're going to pass laws or do something to reduce fossil fuel use and to do our part to fulfill with the Paris Agreement. So we're in process of getting out of it again. Someday we got to get back in, and we won't get back in until we vote in people who see the problem. And selling, I have a lot of friends and that we talk about these things. My big selling point is, hey, the world's going to be not inhabitable. What's at stake here is the very existence of the human race. We could get wiped out, and especially if that's too severe or apocalyptic, whatever you want to say, it's going to reduce our quality of life. And it's happening. I mean, what do we do about the more hurricanes? Why are there more hurricanes? Why is there more damage? It's because of global warming. And voting. My thing is that we know this, voting in the midterms is important to our country. So I want to support, I want candidates to come out and say, I'm going to talk to my partner across the aisle on how we can work together to try to reduce our carbon output. And we're going to find ways to do that. We're going to see if there's legislation that can help. So here's what we got. Francis is the great apostle of an ecological spirituality. And he's going to say, look, you can't just say, he calls it the technological paradigm. There's an ironclad logic that, well, if it's in the earth, dig it up and we can make money on it, do it. That's he calls it an ironclad logic. And I think that that ends up having to be challenged in one way or another. So we need ecological virtues. Live a simple life. Well, how about Francis being an example of that? He doesn't live in a papal palace. He lives in the guest house. He dresses simply. He has a simple lifestyle. Ah, great example. Not just by writing an encyclical, but the way he lived. You look at the man and say, he lives the gospel. You look at him, you see, well, this is what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be servant people. So he's wrote a great encyclical. He was influential on getting the Paris Agreement passed. He's bugging us up till his very death, still bugging us to try to do our part to help solve this problem. Ecological virtues. Care about the environment, care about the larger world. Do some self-sacrificing for the good of the common well. Pope Francis, I laud him once again. Great man, and on this issue, especially strong.
Thank you, Father Basin.